Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
I want us to go together this morning to Mark chapter 9. El libro de Marcos capítulo 9. Just getting you ready for heaven. And flesh and blood has not revealed that to me, but my Father who is in heaven. Australian is the English spoken in heaven, and Argentinian is the Spanish spoken in heaven. So I'm good either way. But Mark chapter 9, I actually do believe that the English accent is the best accent in English there is. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 and onwards, there's an incredible passage of scripture here that I just want to delve into with you this morning. And I'm believing God to stir your faith. I'm believing God to give you fresh eyes to see what's taking place in this story. But it's an amazing story where a man has a young boy who is possessed, who's filled with an evil spirit. And obviously in his desperation, he goes to the disciples of Jesus to see if they can help, to see if they could cast this evil spirit out, and they pray and nothing happens. Then Jesus comes onto the scene, and this father in desperation speaks to Jesus and pretty much questions Jesus and asks him, hey, I believed that your disciples could, but they couldn't. They prayed, nothing happened. They tried to cast this spirit out, but nothing took place. And Jesus has an interaction. He has a dialogue. He has a conversation with this father. And this is where I want us to delve into the story. And I'm believing God in this service to stir our faith. I'm believing God in this service to breathe fresh expectation into our hearts, that no matter what you're facing as you step into your Monday, you're going to have faith to overcome mountains. You're going to have faith to see the impossible take place. You're going to have faith to stand firm and to move forward into all that God has prepared for you. Because if there's one thing I've come to learn and understand after 16 years of serving God, we're going to face opportunities on a daily basis where someone or something wants to rob our faith, wants to stifle our faith. And if the enemy can rob your faith, he'll rob you of your hope, and you won't progress into all that God has for you. And the story goes, it says, and he came to the disciples. He saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. And running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation. May that not be a description that we hear from God about us as a church and as a generation of believers. O faithless generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What an interesting statement. But if you can do anything, why? Why does the father have a bit of doubt in his confession? Because he brought his son to the disciples. He brought his son who was in need to man, and man could not do anything. And now he's speaking to the Son of God. And because of his experience with man, there's a bit of doubt in his heart. There's a bit of doubt in his spirit. And he questions Jesus. But if you can do anything, please help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. I love that the Father says, if you can do anything. And Jesus responds, putting the ball in the Father's court. If you can believe. Some things are possible to him who believes. Is that what your Bible says? It says all things are possible. Now, I'm bilingual, I'm trilingual. I speak English, I speak a bit of Portuguese, I I speak Spanish. I also speak in tongues. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, the word all means all in every language. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead, but Jesus. That must always be our confession in the midst of an impossible situation. But Jesus. But Jesus. Took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to him, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This story fascinates me. This story challenges every ounce of faith that I have on the inside of me. And I love this dialogue. I love this conversation because the man goes to the disciples, nothing takes place. He still believes, but he's also filled with a bit of doubt. He comes to Jesus, questions Jesus. If you can do anything, Jesus throws it right back at him. But if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then the man says, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. In the New Living Translation, verse 23, Jesus' response says, what do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked him. Anything is possible if a person believes. It's interesting that in the same sentence, when the Father responds to Jesus, he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever faced an impossible situation where you believe in God, but you don't believe that God can change your situation? Because you've offered prayers up to heaven and it seems like they've rebounded off the roof. You've believed for your children who are away from God for so long and they're not coming back into the kingdom. You believed God to bring salvation to the life of your husband or your wife, and he or she is still a long way away from God. You've been coming to church, you worship, you say amen to the preacher on Sunday, but on Monday when you face the same situation that you've been facing for such a long period of time, you have faith in God, but you don't believe that God can change your situation because of the time that has passed. Ever found yourself in a situation when you're like this dad, where you're like, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. It leads me to believe that there are so many unbelieving believers in the church today. And I want to speak to us this morning on the subject of being a believing believer. Because there's a huge difference in being an unbelieving believer and being a believing believer. I remember a few years ago, I was speaking for our church in Cape Town, for Phil and Lucinda Dooley. I was preaching on Sunday night, and I was preaching a faith message. I love preaching faith, and I was preaching this faith message, and you know what? It was so good, I was saying amen to my own message. I was like, get me the tape afterwards. I'm going to encourage myself. And I'm just kidding. And it was a good message. I was preaching from Psalm 103, that we are not to forget the benefits of God. God who saves us, God who restores us, God who heals us. It's preaching a faith message that God wants to forgive you, God wants to restore you, God wants to heal you. At the end of the night, we did an altar call at the end of that service, and literally in that one service, so many hands went up. So many people put their faith in Jesus. Went home to Sydney the next morning, got about my usual daily routines back in Sydney, and about 3 weeks later, I was teaching in our Bible college. It was the start of the year, and I was doing one of the introductory classes to a particular subject, and after I finished the class, a young girl comes up to me and says, Pastor Chris, can I speak to you for a moment? And I was like, yeah, firstly, don't call me Pastor, just call me Chris. My wife calls me Pastor when she's upset with me. Just to remind me, you should not be treating me this way. And I said, yes, what's up? She goes, I need to ask for forgiveness. And I'm like, why? Have you ever had a person that comes and says, I need you to forgive me, and you have no idea about the situation? and now their burden becomes your burden? It's like, just keep it to yourself. I don't even know who you are. Don't put that load on my shoulders. Now I got to choose whether I want to forgive or I don't want to forgive. And she says to me, I need to ask for your forgiveness. And I'm like, what's going on? She says, a few weeks ago, you were speaking in Cape Town. You preached this faith message and I didn't believe a word you said. Didn't believe a word you said. She says, you need to understand, a few years ago, when I was a little girl, my mum died of cancer. And we believed God for so long. I've grown up in the church, know the scriptures. We believed God could heal, but he didn't do it for my mum. And at a young age, my sister and I lost our mother. So when you were preaching all that stuff, that God heals, that God forgives, I completely switched off and I was like, I don't believe anything this man is saying. But I've come to ask for your forgiveness because in these 2 weeks that I've been in Australia, under the teaching that I've been hearing and starting college, God has done something on the inside of me to restore my faith. And I made a decision that I'm not going to allow the experience of my past to limit my faith today. And I said to her, you've become a believing believer. And she went on and she served as an intern for my wife and I. Today she's on staff in our church in Cape Town. But she was at a crossroads in her life where she was allowing her past experience to limit her faith. And we need to make sure that we don't step into the zone of being unbelieving believers because we limit our faith by a prayer we believe wasn't answered, by a situation we think didn't change, by a circumstance that we think didn't shift. Friend, we need to know God's answer isn't always yes. His answer sometimes is not now, but we must always keep believing that God is good, that he's not a man that he shall lie, nor a son of man that he shall repent, because if God said it, God will do it. If God promised it, will he not fulfill it? The question is, are you a believing believer? Or are you an unbelieving believer? When Dan was up here a few moments ago speaking about the prayer requests, did you add your amen to that prayer full of faith? Or was it like, amen? Because God hasn't done that in my life. We need to make sure as people of faith in a city like London, where we have faith, not just to change a city or a nation, but to change a continent to the glory of God. In urgent days like we're living in, we need the church to be full of faith. We need the church to step into the zone of being believing believers, come what may. It doesn't matter what you face or what comes against you. We need to make a decision to have an internal conviction. I'm going to be steadfast in my faith. It doesn't matter what goes on around me. I've got the hope of glory living on the inside of me, and I'm going to anchor my faith to the rock that is Christ Jesus, and I'm not going to stop moving forward. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to allow my faith to dwindle according to what my eye sees. I'm going to allow my faith to be stirred according to what my heart sees. Because here's the thing, so many people have sight, but not too many people have vision. And your sight will always focus on the problem, but vision will always focus on the promise. Your sight will always focus on the temporal, but vision will focus on the eternal. Your sight will focus on where you are right now, but vision will always focus on where you're going in God. Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? Are you living according to your natural sight, or are you living according to a God-given vision? You may think, well, Chris, I don't have a vision for my life. How am I supposed to live according to vision? Very good question that you've asked me this morning. You might not have a personal vision for your life, but our house is full of vision. And if you align your life to the vision of the house, as you walk out the vision of the house, God will start to show you the giftings he's placed in your life. God will start to show you the part that you have to play within the vision of the house. God will start to show you what is prepared for you at a personal level because you've aligned yourself with the vision at a corporate level. There's one thing about our house globally. There's no lack of vision. If you can align yourself to that, get involved, take that next step, God will start to show you what he's called you to do personally. Are you a believing believer, an unbelieving believer? There's an incredible story in Matthew chapter 8. It's the story of the Roman centurion, verses 5 to 13. There's this Roman soldier, he's a Gentile. He comes to Jesus and he says, Lord Jesus, one of my servants is at home and he's really ill. And Jesus says, I will come. What fascinates me is that Jesus says to a Gentile soldier, the enemy of the Jewish people, a Roman, I will come. Because Jesus was a Jew and the Romans governed over the Jews. So Jesus submitted to the authority of the Roman soldier. He says, I will come. And the soldier says, no, I'm not worthy that you come to my home. Just say a word. Just say a word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus is like, what? He said in Spanish, ¿qué? I have not found this sort of faith in all of Israel. What fascinates me about that is that he says, I haven't found this faith in all of Israel. So it must mean he was looking for that sort of faith. And the faith he was looking for, he found in a Roman soldier. May God find in our house the faith that he's looking for. So I've not found this sort of faith in all of Israel. Go your way. Your servant will be healed. And what's amazing about this story? It goes on and Jesus talks about the Jews and those who grew up in the faith, how they're going to be left outside of the kingdom because they made a decision to not believe that he was who he said he was. In the Message translation, verse 12 of Matthew 8 says, then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith. Those who grew up in the faith but had no faith. You can grow up all in church. You can be in church your whole life, but step into the zone of being an unbelieving believer where you come to church out of a religious obligation. You come to tick it off on your calendar. You hear the sermon, you say amen, but Monday to Saturday, because of what you face, you don't believe the amen that you gave last Sunday because of your past experience. And Jesus here is challenging the Pharisees and the Jews after a Roman soldier put his faith in Jesus. He says, those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will not see the miracles that I want to do. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are preaching in Iconium. They're revolutionizing this town. Paul and Barnabas are seeing many won to faith. Many people choosing to put their faith in Jesus. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 2, it said, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and positioned their minds against the brothers. The unbelieving Jews, here are the Jews who knew the promise, who understood the prophecy, who understood the Old Testament. Here are the Jews who believed that one day the Messiah would come. And when he showed up, because he didn't fit within their parameters of their knowledge of God, they didn't acknowledge Jesus as the sent one, as the Messiah, as the promised one. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up all the Gentiles against those who were preaching grace and preaching Jesus. Do we actually believe what we say we believe? Are we believing believers or are we unbelieving believers? See, an unbelieving believer has faith in God but doesn't believe God. Henry David Thoreau said, live your beliefs and you can turn the world around. Live your beliefs and you can turn your world around. In Jewish culture today, a Jew will not ask you what you believe. He or she will observe your life. And after 3 or 4 weeks of observing your life, they will tell you what you believe. What will people say about your faith because of the way you live? What will people say about my faith because of the way I live? Oh, friend, I want to live my days where people say, this man believes what he says. This man lives out what he believes. I don't want to say one thing and then live another thing. So many people say to you as a preacher, oh, is it hard on Monday to practice what you preach? I say, I don't know. I only preach what I already practice because there's authority. There's the power of God. There's a person that's genuine. I don't want to have to catch up after my sermon in life and have to practice what I preach. I want to preach from a point of authority, having already practiced what I'm now preaching. How are we believing believers? Pastor Brian declared at the start of this year over our church and over every member of our church, you are the one. You are the one to bring a revolution to the place where you're planted and where you live. You are the one to bring hope in your workplace. You are the one to share the grace of God to those who don't know Him. You are the one to feed the homeless. You are the one to give a drink to the thirsty. You are the one to shine the light of Jesus in your home and in your suburb and in your city. But the question is, when we hear that, do we believe I am the one? Because it's one thing hearing it and being stirred for a moment, but are you living like you are the one Monday to Saturday? Are you a believing believer with the word that was spoken over our church? Because if we can get thousands of people across the globe that call Hillsong home and walk with a conviction and an attitude, not arrogant, just an internal conviction that says, in my workplace, I am the one that can help him, and I am the one that can love her, and I am the one that can accept her. I am the one to change the confession in this office. I'm not going to complain about my boss. I'm not going to complain about the government. I'm not going to speak wrongly of others, because I am the one God wants to use. Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? Because there's a huge difference. See, the Jews and the Pharisees, they had faith. They grew up in the faith, but they had a limited faith. Why? Because when Jesus came, they said he was a sinner. When Jesus came, they said, this cannot be a man that was sent by God. He healed on the Sabbath. You can't heal anyone on the Sabbath, because the rules of religion are more important than the human that's in need. But the rules of religion were designed for man, not man for the rules of religion. And Jesus came to break those rules, to reach a hurting humanity. See, the Pharisees and the Jews, they had a limited faith. Hopefully my skinny jeans lets me do this. Praise God. God is good. Yeah, some of you will get that later. Anyway, Jesus shows up. He's healing on the Sabbath. He's hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors. He's hanging around sinful people. He's forgiving sins. He's raising the dead. He's healing the lame. He's opening blind eyes and deaf ears. Miracles are taking place. God is moving. God is breathing something fresh amongst his people. But the Pharisees and the Jews, they had a limited faith. Their faith was limited by their knowledge of God. And many times we become unbelieving believers because we think we know it all when it comes to God. And we have certain parameters in our life. And unless God moves inside of these parameters, we say, oh, that cannot be God. In Argentina right now, what's happening by the grace of God in our church, what's happening in Sao Paulo just after a few months, one year and 4 months of doing church in Buenos Aires, over 5,500 salvations, people being restored, marriages being healed, young people being set on fire for God. In Sao Paulo, after 3 months, 5 months of doing church, over 3,000 decisions. What's taking place is miraculous. But the religious, oh, that's not from God. That's not from God. They can't do church in nightclubs. A pastor can't dress that way. A pastor can't look that way. Now, that's not from God, the smokes, the lights. I know you've heard all this before because it was the story of this church so many years ago, and I dare to say it's still the story today. But God is moving. People are getting saved. Lives are being inspired. The kingdom is advancing. But the religious will deny it's God because it doesn't fit inside of their faith parameters. And when we think we know everything there is to know about God, we box our faith. We become unbelieving believers. God starts to move in a fresh and new way. People are being set alight for God. Families are being changed. But no, that doesn't fit. God can't change that sort of life. God can't move in that sort of family. I know your pastor. I know who you are. I know where you've been. And we deny God's moving because what He is doing doesn't fit inside the box of faith that we've created. But believing believers, they break the box. They take the limitations off. They say, and they have a faith that says, God can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, with who He wants, because He is God. He's a God that knows no limitation. Are you a believing believer, an unbelieving believer? Max Lucado said, our belief in God, it's not blind faith. Belief is having a firm conviction that something is true, not just hoping it's true. Do we believe what we say? We believe. But I understand, friend. It's easy to step into the zone like the father of this child. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. When you've believed God and things didn't change. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the one who announced the Savior. I would love to have on my curriculum, on my CV, I baptized Jesus. That would be awesome. When he baptized Jesus, he hears a voice from heaven. He sees the Spirit of God descend in the form of a dove. The form of a dove. He hears a voice says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Follow him. John the Baptist. The one that Isaiah describes of him that he would be a voice in the wilderness making a way straight, making the path straight for the Lord. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. Even when he was in his mother's womb and Mary showed up with Jesus in her womb, John the Baptist did backflips. John the Baptist. But one day he's imprisoned because of his faith. He calls some of his disciples and he says, hey, amigos, come. Come, come. Go and ask Jesus, are you the coming one? Or should we wait for another? John the flipping Baptist. He heard a voice from heaven. He's now questioning because he's in prison, because he's in chains, because he's in his darkest moments. Are you the one? Or should we expect another? And I love Jesus. Jesus says to the disciples of John, hey, go to Juan, because that's his name in Spanish. Go to Juancito. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Miracles are taking place. Blessed is he who doesn't waver in his faith because of me. He points John the Baptist to what he's already done. When John is in a moment of doubt and crosses the threshold into the zone of being an unbelieving believer. And sometimes when we have no faith to move forward, we need to look back at what Jesus has already done. Sometimes when we have no faith to move on, we need to look back to the cross at Calvary. Because if you think Jesus has never done anything in your life, He shed His blood for you. He overcame death for you. He overcame sin for you. We need to look back at the cross to be able to be propelled forward into all that God has for us. There's no reason whatsoever for us as people of faith to question who He is and to question His authority and to question His power. Because if He did it once for you in the past, He will do it for you again. Make sure we have a conviction on the inside of us where we're going to be believing believers. Now you think, oh, Chris, this is easy for you to speak. You've never been through anything. Just last week, we celebrated 5 years since my hero, my best friend, at the age of 59, my dad, graduated into eternity because it's a graduation. 2 years earlier, he has a seizure at home and we run to the hospital. The doctors pretty much tell us, Chris, says to all my family, you need to say your goodbyes because he won't make it to Sunday. 57 years of age at the time. We're in shock. This had come out of nowhere. They did a biopsy on his brain and they found a very rare brain lymphoma, one of only 7 people in the history of Australia to have this type of lymphoma. He's not gonna make it. Another doctor comes in and says, hey guys, look, your dad's 57. Let's give him the most potent dose of chemotherapy. Let's see what happens. By Sunday night when they told us he was no longer gonna be with us, he starts to respond, his eyes open. The swelling starts to go down, and 2 days that we were given became 2 years. And it was an up and down 2 years. 6 months in remission. Then he came back even stronger. And there I was preaching every Sunday back in Sydney, preaching faith, praying for the sick, and they were being healed. But within my own home, my dad wasn't being healed. Praying for people in need, and God was responding. Preaching on the weekends, making a decision, I'm not going to let my experience to determine my faith and my conviction. And the day came on the 27th of March, 2012, where we celebrated my dad's graduation and he went home to be with Jesus. It was a Monday. That Sunday, Pastor Brian asks me, Chris, I want you to preach on Resurrection Sunday. And I'm like, Brian. He's like, hey, you have the option to say no. I said, I'm not going to say no. Got to preach Resurrection Sunday, first time speaking at Easter to our whole church via link. It was a big deal. And after the service, I get off the stage and a beautiful old lady, she comes up to me and she says, Pastor Chris, could you pray for me? This week, the doctors told me I have cancer. And on the inside, I said, no. No, I don't believe God heals. But then I heard another voice rise up. The voice of faith that said, pray for her. Lay hands on her because I am who I say I am. And I laid hands on that old lady with tears dripping down my face. So emotional. That lady is still in our church today. She was declared cancer free. But God brought me to a point where I had to make a decision. I would not limit my faith because of my past experiences. I'm going to lift my experiences to the level of my faith. Hillsong London, are you a believing believer or are you an unbelieving believer? God is who He says He is. God can do what He says He can do. He is healer. He is restorer. He is provider. He is faithful. He is good. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. Come on, why don't you lift your voice and worship Him?
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.